Blog Talk Radio.
And as always, we have a big show planned for you guys. We'll be joined by Jared Zwirling from ESPN New York, who covers the New York Knicks, and he'll come on and talk to us, talk to me, talk to you about what's going on with the New York Knicks. And as always, of course, feel free to call me up at 646-478-5554. You know, it's kind of funny right now because everybody's just waiting for me to explode, and I get that. You know, I've had many meltdowns on the air. I've had gone crazy a few times. I can't really say I've had, well, I don't want to say many meltdowns, but I've had about like four or five, you know. You know, I always bring the intensity. You know, I always bring the passion. Because I care. I care a lot. Sometimes I care too much. Sometimes it takes over my life. Sometimes I lose sleep. Sometimes it just gets to a point where you say to yourself, is it ever going to change? Is it ever going to get good? All the trades, the free agent signings, the coaching changes, the management changes, the building changes. Will it ever get good? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm here to tell you I don't know if we will ever see this team good. Because right now, this team stinks. This team has nothing. This team has no passion. This team has no heart. This team has no fire. This team has no desire. This team doesn't know what the hell they're doing on the goddamn basketball court. This team acts like they don't care. Forget Wednesday. They played a decent ball game last Monday versus Orlando. I mean, I don't even know where to start this show tonight. I got my bullet points in front of me of like 30 notes I wrote down. Melo, Amari, communication problems. What is this, fifth grade? Me and Amari have to have a talk? Is that what Carmelo says? Oh, we're not talking. Oh, you're not talking. Oh, that's great. You fly everywhere together. You have practice every day. You have games just about every day. Oh, but we have to have a conversation. Oh, really? That's nice. 16 games in, your two star players have to have a conversation. They have to talk. They have to figure it out. That's a damn shame. I don't know whose fault that's on. Is that on Amari? Is that on Melo? I don't know. I don't know where it breaks down. You can't blame coaching on that. I don't know if there's too many egos. I don't know what the problem is. I know there's a lot of finger-pointing going on right now, which you've read throughout the last couple days. I know that, too. You've heard the conversation. You've heard the rumors. They're true. But I like to come on the air, and I like to consider myself a Knicks expert. I really do. But watching this team, it's like, I'm not saying they're not going to turn around. Maybe they will. I mean, you know, Baron Davis practiced today, and, you know, he says he can make the team dominant. Great. It's awesome. One thing about the Knicks, and this isn't a knock on Baron Davis, and I think I'm going to like Baron Davis a lot. I've always been a big fan of Baron ever since he was at UCLA even. If you know what, one thing with the Knicks, man, and this is probably a lot of sports franchises, and you go, but forget, because this is a Knicks show. We're talking about the Knicks. But if you even go back about 10, 12 years with this Knicks team, even with the Knicks teams in the 90s and they were competing for a championship, they didn't talk that much. No, we knew it was about a championship. But if you look at the last, like, 7, 8, 10 years with the Knicks, all it is talk. Talk, talk, talk. No action. You know, it's all fun before the season. Fans are, I'm a fan too, but I like to think I know a little bit. I know what goes on. Fans get fooled so easily. So easily. With the whole, you know, before the season starts and everybody in the team is so in love and everybody loves each other and this team's going to have fun because they're all BFFs and they all love each other. No, no, there's not a lot of love. There's a lot of finger pointing going on. There's a lot of, I don't get the ball going on. There's a lot of problems going on right now. There's a lot. A lot. And forget Friday night when this team didn't even show up to play. I mean, Friday night you're playing against a terrible Milwaukee Bucks team. You let Brandon Jennings dunk the ball about 5 times. And then Carmelo says he doesn't like to get punked. Well, if you don't like to get punked, which I get that, why don't you show up in your own building and play some ball? I've been at almost every Knicks home game the last 12 years. That was probably I'm sure the Knicks have other situations where they've lost 4 in a row at home. I could probably tell you all the games. If you factor in the hype and the buzz of this season and everything going on, you know, the championship talk and all this nonsense, this was probably the worst 4-game homestand I've seen as a Knicks fan maybe in my life. Maybe not statistically it was. Maybe other teams have had worse records. This is the worst homestand I've ever seen. When you factor in everything. Free agent signings, trades, and how bad. I mean, to top off the homestand, and I know I'm kind of all over the place. Usually I'm a lot more structured. I'm kind of all over the place with things I'm talking right now. But you know what? I don't care. Because the Knicks aren't structured. Why should I be? I think my fans still like me. You guys still like me, right? Okay. So if I'm not structured tonight, whatever. Fine. I'm doing a better show than the Knicks are playing basketball. So it's okay. But to top it off of this awful homestand, the team who has so many ex-Knicks, even Nene was a Knick for 5 minutes. Even Nene had a cup of coffee with the New York Knicks back in 2002. You lose. I mean, the player you traded for Carmelo, one of the 8 players you traded for Carmelo, Danilo Gallinari comes in and has a career high and absolutely torches the New York Knicks. Torches. Now, we don't need to go over what the Knicks should have did last year. You know how I felt. You guys know how I felt. Because I have a lot of loyal listeners, and you guys know how I felt about the trade last year. You know how I felt. I wanted Melo, but I wanted him for the right price. Or over the summer. You know how I felt. We're not going to get into that. Can Amari Stoudemire take me? Amari Stoudemire played 45 minutes on Saturday night, and he took one shot. He took 9 shots. Now I could break down this play and that play, but there was ever a play that ticked me off more as a fan, and I hope my educated basketball fans know what play I'm talking about. I believe it was in the first overtime. Maybe it was towards the end of regulation when Amari Stoudemire got the offensive rebound, kicked it out to Melo, and even went for the repost, and nobody on the team even looked for Amari. Now, unlike other sports, basketball doesn't have a lot of unwritten rules, but if it's a big game, a big possession, and your big man, who happens to be one of your franchise players, gets a key offensive rebound and kicks the ball out, you feed that man. You feed that beast. No, Amari got the rebound, the Knicks didn't look for him. Now, throughout Amari's whole career, he's never been a guy that's had to demand the basketball. Because you know why? He's always got the ball. Even if it was playing with Stephon Marbury early in his career, playing with Steve Nash all those years in Phoenix, playing with Ray Felton last year, he never had to demand the ball. He always got the ball. He's Amari. Now,
And obviously the Knicks are flawed. They're playing without a point guard. They're the only team in the NBA playing without a point guard. But can guys look for him, please? I mean, maybe he's injured. Maybe he's hurt. I don't know. But could guys look for him? Could you try? Listen, I know the Knicks don't have a great point guard now, but could you try to run a pick and roll? Could you try? A pick and roll is a basic basketball play. Anybody can run it. Yeah, there's guys that run it better than others, but anybody can do it. Trust you. Trust me. I assure you. I can go to the park in my neighborhood and get a scrub from the block, and I can teach them the pick and roll, and we could run it. And we'll run you. And the Knicks can't hit an outside shot to save the damn life. And that's pathetic. And, okay, now he's not going to be the key to a championship or even getting to the playoffs, you know. But why don't the Knicks give Stevie Novak a shot? Now, I'm not saying Steve Novak is going to, you know, be the key to the Knicks championship. Don't get that twisted. But could they give Steve Novak a shot? I mean, the guy can stroke it. He really can. I don't get it. No, I'm by no means crying for Steve Novak. Don't get it twisted. But why not give him a look? Why not give him a try? I don't know. And could we have more of a predictable offense? I mean, Carmelo Anthony running the point every time down, just dribbling the ball up the court and shooting, not even trying to make a play. If Carmelo's going to shoot every time, that's fine. He's a franchise player. I'm coming home. Yeah. I get it. You know, we all cried for this.
I'm coming home.
Yeah, cry. Cry. Cry, everybody. I want you to cry. I'm not knocking Melo. I don't know. Remember how you felt 11 months ago?
My dog makes me cry. Makes me cry. Oh my God, I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry. I'm coming home. Yeah, I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna cry. It's the best moment of my life.
If you're gonna shoot every time down, and that's all you're gonna draw up, at least have somebody else bring the basketball off the court and set Carmelo up. But by the time he gets with the ball, you see, this guy, Carmelo Anthony, is going to be burnt out by April. He's going to be burnt out by April. And switching. Do they need to switch on every play? You know we kill Tony Douglas all the time for his offensive ineptitude. But at least Tony Douglas fights through screens. At least Tony Douglas has a pair. Can I see one person fight through a screen? One? Besides Tony? Fight through a screen. Say, no switch. I'm staying with my man. It's basketball. I don't get it. Are they flawed without a point guard? Yeah. I said it on opening day. I said it. They were flawed. They won the game, they were flawed. They are absolutely flawed without a point guard. But there's no excuse for this. None. And now you have a road trip coming up. You got the Bobcats tomorrow night, the Cavs Wednesday, Miami Friday. I don't know. Here, let's all hold hands.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home.
Turn to the person next to you. Hold their hand. Sing the song to them. Crying last year. All right, listen. I got a lot of calls on hold, and I got to talk to you because I don't have an answer. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com. The Knicks Blog Radio with Jared Zwirling from ESPN New York will join us in 15 minutes. So let's go out to the calls. Let's go out to you, and let's start off with Eddie from Queens. Eddie, you're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, Anthony, what's up, man? How's everything going?
What's up, Eddie? How's it going?
Long time. I didn't speak to you yet this season, man. I've just been listening. But, I go back to what Magic Johnson was saying, I think, like 2 days prior to Christmas before the Celtics game. He did say there was going to be some struggles in the beginning. He did say fans were going to be unhappy. But then if we just stay with it, this can be a championship contender by late February, March, and I still hold true to that statement Magic made. I mean, I didn't expect, I probably expected maybe 8-8, 9-7 after 16 games, not 6-10. But I think, you know, the Denver game was a it's going to be a turning point, just like the Denver game was last year when they went 8-8.
Well, the Denver game last year was a great win for the New York Knicks. It was their 8th straight win.
No, I'm talking about the one on the road. I think
the Denver game last year, they didn't win on the road. They lost, and they won the next game versus Sacramento. But that was a totally different team. You had 6 or 7 different guys on a 15-man roster.
But at the same token, I just feel, especially the way Melo was talking after the game, as far as, you know, he was self-evaluating himself. I saw some good things. Landry Fields has stepped up lately, even though I wish he had a jumper. You know,
Landry can't hit the broadside of a barn.
Yeah, that's not good for it. If you're going to be a starting shooting guard in the NBA, you have to knock down open jump shots. That's why maybe the J.R. Smith thing will come to fruition next month. But, you know, I think, you know, starting tomorrow and then on Wednesday night in Cleveland, you'll see some things. And maybe Friday night we get another Miami thriller like we got last February.
But what makes you think, and maybe you're right, and I hope you're right, what makes you think we're going to see some things tomorrow night? Why is it going to change tomorrow? Maybe it will. I hope it does. But why do you – see, if you're going to come on the show, why? Why is it going to change tomorrow? I hope
because
you're right, but
away,
why?
Because they're away from the Garden. I think right now once those guys don't step on the Garden floor, they hear a little scattering of blue boos, they get tight, especially Tony Douglas. I can see it in his face. The guy gets tight. I can see it in his face directly. But so I think once they go on the road, they get away, especially small market cities like Charlotte and Cleveland, less pressure, guys bombed on the road. I'm sure Amari and Melo had that talk they needed to have already.
Amari and Melo had so much time all summer to talk. The players were allowed to talk. They had plenty of time to talk, Eddie, and thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog. That's the Amari and Melo talk, and that's great they're going to talk or they've talked, but they had all summer to talk. They had all last year to talk. I mean, what is this? I mean, do these guys have too many fashion shows to go to? Too much to worry about? I'm not even going to get into it. I'm not going to do what you think I'm going to do, man. Not going to do it. I'm not. I know where you want me to go with this. And I've been asked about it many times. I'm not going to do it. 646-478-5554. Back to the calls we go. Let's go to Kenny from Brooklyn. Kenny, you're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hampton, what's going on, man?
What's up, Kenny? How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, man. But let's talk about the Knicks real quick. I told you from the jump. And first of all, before I even go talk about the coach, I was one of those few fans that really liked Gallinari like that. Like, he's 23 years old. You saw what he just did to us. Like, we did give him a lot for Melo. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that, of course.
We're going to end up looking bad in the deal down the line. But I don't even want to say
what the Knicks record is since Carmelo and the Nuggets record. It's absurd.
It's crazy. We've been a few games under 500, a few games well under 500. But let's go.
I don't know if you remember this, Kenyon. If you remember, like the day after the trade, the Denver Nuggets had a press conference with their GM, Yasari, and their owner. And so many Knicks fans, I remember, called my show that night and were like, oh, the Nuggets, they got played, yada, yada, yada. They got played. And it's like, boy, oh, boy, the Nuggets knew what they were doing because they had everybody fooled because so many people thought the Knicks had nothing to trade. I mean, the Knicks,
I don't know. I figured what happened, they got fleeced.
Of course they did.
Yeah, but as far as the coach, I mean, you keep on talking about, okay, they got $4 million for him and you already started the season, whatever the case be. I don't think this coach is capable of coaching in the Eastern Conference. I don't see him game planning. Even the other day, Walker played well in the second quarter. They took him out. He didn't play. Basically, he played in overtime a little bit, but he was doing work in the first half. You know what I'm saying? You got Melo out there chucking still. I don't know what to say, man. I think you need to get rid of the coach. Change the coach and go to a more standard offensive set.
Here's the thing, though. The way they're playing right now is pretty – it's nothing. It's just Carmelo brings the ball up the court – and he shoots. There's nothing to their offense.
And I'm a big stat fan. I mean, as far as like he definitely should be getting some more plays ran from whatever. But like I said, it's the politics. They all get it. They're both getting paid, And it seems like Melo
should
New York
be getting touches early. First of all, we know Amari can be a fourth quarter player. Just for his confidence, they should be going getting the ball to Amari early in the game.
I don't know why they mark, but what do you think about these trades?
And how about when he got that offensive rebound the other night? They didn't even think to go back to him late in the game. They didn't even think about it. You always reward your big man, especially when he makes a play like that.
What do you hear about the – well, that is, you know, there's been reports that, you know, with Orlando and the Knicks, basically Stoudemire and Chandler for Dwight Howard. Would you make a trade like that?
Yeah, I heard some reports that I don't know. I don't know if it's gonna happen. I don't know. It's tough to say right now.
Saying, you see how the league is messed up, where you go with one plan and it don't work, and you try to do something more radical or whatever. I'm not sure I like that trade, just because it's like you're just playing around with players all the time. You know what I'm saying? And you got this.
Sometimes it's not about the star players. You could have two or three star players on the team. It's about the players around the stars. It's about that ace man that can come off the bench and hit a jump shot or grab a rebound. It's about those guys, you know?
Well, right now we're 6-10 teams, 4 games under 500. I mean, D'Antoni's record already speaks for itself as far as him being in New York. That means borderline 500 team with this talent, unacceptable, and you might as well cut your losses now and hire a new coach.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Kenyon, and as always, man, thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in. But I don't, you know, you're not going to hire a new coach right now. You're going to bring in Mike Woodson, get rid of D'Antoni's staff. Then at the end of the season, you know, either Phil Jackson comes in or you re-up Woody. You're just not going to hire a new coach right now. That's very rare. You see hire a new coach mid-season. Very, very rare. 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Jeff in Minnesota. Jeff, you're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
What's going on, Anthony? How you doing?
I've been better, Jeff, as a fan. Life is great. I mean, I don't want anybody to think that I'm a miserable guy. I mean, life is great right now. Just life as a Knicks fan stinks. Well, life is good, you know.
Yeah.
Knicks fan life stinks. Life's good, though.
Yeah, exactly. I think you hit a lot of it on the head, you know. But, going back to the Denver game, you know, the Knicks played well. You know, you saw some signs from Tony Douglas. You saw some signs from Landry Fields. The person I was disappointed in the most was Amari Stoudemire. You know, he cost the Knicks that game down the stretch in regulation, getting the technical foul, not hitting his free throws. You know, those are points that they needed. You know, this whole season, he just not seemed into it. You know, he didn't put work on his game in the offseason. You know, he even said that. You know, and it shows. Right now, he's rusty.
Yeah, it seems that, you know, I'm there now. Like I said, I'm there an hour and a half early every game. I don't see the same bounce to his step. I don't see the same swag. I don't see the same Amari. I don't. I mean, can it change? Sure, but I guess. But I don't see it right now. I really don't.
You know, and I think the fans, they're all getting a little upset at Carmelo. They want him to pass the ball. And it was kind of tough, you know, fans, you know, getting on Carmelo every time he got the ball. But right now, you got to realize he is the offense. When he goes to the bench, there is no offense. There is no floor offense when he's not on the floor. I mean, the only thing I think you can knock him for right now, yeah, he can get the ball moving, but he's been off the last couple of games as far as his shots concerned.
And listen, here's the thing. Everybody wants Carmelo to pass to defend Carmelo if the ball is moving. The team last year was they weren't winning a championship, just like the Nuggets probably aren't winning a championship, but that team was deep. Your ace man. That team was deep, so the ball went from Chandler to Gallo to Mozgov to Felton to Amari, to Landry, to Tony. You had 7-8 guys who could score. So you had 7-8 guys who could make things happen. How many guys on this team right now that are on the court that can legitimately make things happen? Not a lot.
Nobody. Nobody.
Right,
exactly.
The ball can move all at once. No guys
off.
Make things happen.
No one can score off the bench. Landry Fields is an absolute zero out there. You know, Tyson Chandler is only good for a lob pass. You know, he's not gonna catch the ball in the post and have any moves. So, I mean, the only person who can score is Carmelo. And all the team's defenses are geared around stopping him. So he's not shooting a good percentage. They're not hitting their threes this year. It's a pretty ugly offensive team to watch right now. It's pretty terrible right now.
And Jeff, but you know, Baron Davis practiced today for the first time. He said he was very rusty, which is expected. Baron was talking about how, you know, he can make this team unstoppable. Maybe he can, but it's like, as such as a Knicks fan, all we've heard over the last 10 years is talk. Talk, talk, talk. You know, we as fans, you know, you, me, and the rest of everybody else, we want to see results. We're sick of hearing talking.
Exactly. I mean, that seems like that's all we hear, you know. And D'Antoni came out, put it on himself, saying the team's a championship team this year, you know. So, you know, I want to see some results this year. You know, they're talking about the J.R. Smith thing, and I think if they can possibly make that work, they have to go get him. They need some scoring in that backcourt. I heard Ish Smith. You know, they need another point guard, even with Baron Davis, because there isn't another point guard on the roster right now. I mean, Mike Bibby's not playing the point.
Yeah, I thought they'd give Bibby a shot playing
point,
but they haven't.
They don't have, you know, after Baron Davis, and I mean, he's, you know, what, 30 years old right now, 32 years old. You know, he's coming off an injury. He's not going to be able to carry the load, especially not right off the bat. And, you know, you don't want to wear him down come playoff time or down the you know, stretch run of the season. You're going to need another point guard. So they got to make a couple of moves here. And Jeremy Lin and, you know, and Jordan are not cutting it right now. They need some real players on this team.
Yeah, Jeff, I feel you on that. As always, thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in. Yeah, Jeremy Lin, not exactly going to cut it. 646-478-5554 is the number, theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Ricky in the Bronx. Ricky, you're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
How you doing, Anthony?
I'm good. Ricky, yourself?
I'm good. I was bummed out. I was actually I was at that game tonight, and it was horrible. I mean, no, the Nuggets game. I was there.
I was there as well. I was there.
It was just horrible. I mean, they don't play any defense. You know, they don't play, I mean, no half court press. They don't get rebounds. I mean, they just standing there. They don't get offensive boards. It's you know, it's disheartening. You know, Amari is like listless. You know. And I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I know Amari's being affected by the fact that he's not playing with a point guard. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, yeah, he seems, like I said, I'm there an hour and a half early every game. I don't mean to throw that in people's faces, but he doesn't seem like the same person. I hope he can get back to where he was. I love Amari. I love everything about him.
Right.
But what makes him Amari, the swag, the walk, the talk, everything about him is not the same right now. It's just not.
You know, the core they had last year, the core around him, the supporting cast, that worked perfect. I mean, it worked. I mean, you know, Amari came from like a West Coast offense type of play. So the guys around him, they fed him the ball. You know, every it looks like every play D'Antoni has set up is just Melo bringing down the court. Melo bring down and he picks these crazy shots.
I mean,
shots.
Come on, here's the thing. I know not everybody loves D'Antoni, but do you really think that D'Antoni's in the huddle is saying, all right, Melo, just bring the ball down the court, shoot the ball, we're all good, we'll go back to West Virginia and have some chicken? Listen. I know everybody don't love D'Antoni, and that's fine. I don't love D'Antoni either. But if you think Mike D'Antoni's in the huddle, all right, bring the ball down the court, shoot the ball, we're good. Come on, he might not be great, and he might deserve to get fired, but if you think D'Antoni's in the hole, just go, not bring him out of the car, shoot him out, Melo.
I think he's doing more than that, but, I mean, that's just what it seems like. I mean, and today I heard it, like, on ESPN, they're saying that Dwight Howard, a rumor trade, you know, between Howard and maybe Amari going to Orlando and Howard coming to New York.
Yeah, there's always rumors. That's how it is, especially the age.
What do you think of that? You think that could probably happen? I mean, I don't want to see Amari go, to be honest, you know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Rick, and as always, man, thanks for the call. I've never really appreciated you calling in on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. It's only a rumor now, so, you know, you never really know what could happen. We're joined by Jared Zwirling from ESPN New York in a little bit right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. The Knicks are playing the Heat on Friday, and usually fans are hyped up to play the Heat, and boy, oh boy, I don't think that hype's going to be there like this for this Friday's game anyway. But you never know. Maybe we get a couple wins going into Friday, and who knows? We'll see. 646-478-5554 is the number, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go to Benji in Manhattan. Benji, you're on the air, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
What's up, Anthony?
Benji, how are you holding up?
I'm not doing too well, man. I got to be honest
you're not.
With you. No, I'm not doing
okay,
too well.
Okay, why are you not doing well?
Yeah, six-game losing streak.
It's not good.
Can't be any worse than it is right now.
Well, if they could lose seven in a row, that would be...
I mean, I would have had a... You know, you would have had a... There would have been a lot of momentum if they had won, you know, the game on Saturday night. You know, it's not...
I don't
that they
know.
Played.
I don't know about... Now, Benji. I don't know about a lot of momentum. I'd call it... It would be baby
You
would have
felt better. You would have felt
yeah,
much better. Much better.
I don't know, Benji. I can't say I'd feel... If they won Saturday, I'd still come on the air and kill them today. There's no way I'm going to... They would have won Saturday. I would have felt much better the way they've been playing. You win Saturday, you're still...
They would have beaten an 11-5 team. You know, I thought they played a pretty good game, you know. There were a couple key moments, you know, a couple mistakes that they made, you know, that didn't allow them to win. Obviously, Tyson Chandler made a big mistake fouling on at the end of regulation. Is that it, the end of regulation or the end
yeah,
of overtime?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of mistakes being made right now for the New York Knicks, and I don't know, Benji, what you know, you usually seem to have an idea. What do you think is the problem right now?
I mean, the offense, like you said, is so predictable.
Very predictable.
And you would think with all that's been made about, you know, Carmelo taking all these shots and the inability to run the half-court offense, that they would have made some changes, and I think that's the biggest issue with Mike D'Antoni. Is that he doesn't make any in-game adjustments. So, you know, Friday night, for example, when they're struggling to score, things seem to get out of hand very quickly with this team, particularly when, when they have spurts where they can't score and they go long periods of time without making field goals, and that's because and they keep running the same play over and over again against the Bucks. You know, they continue to ride Carmelo in the fourth quarter when they try to get back in the game. It clearly wasn't working. You got to try something different. You know, Steve Novak isn't an all-star, but it would be nice.
Yeah, why didn't Steve Novak get some burn?
Nice to see him out there. Yeah, I mean, for all the times that I have to see Landry Fields, even though he's playing better, shoot a three from the corner and brick it as he does every time.
Sometimes he misses the whole rim.
Yeah. Did you notice that Landry Fields, he has played better the last three or four games?
No
question.
He definitely has.
He's been aggressive. Do you notice that he hits the front rim on a lot of shots?
Yeah, and sometimes he misses the whole rim and backboard. Really weird.
Yeah, and from the free throw line, too. He hits the front rim almost all the time. I don't know what it is.
He's not exactly – no, this is an offense to Landry. You know, I love Landry, but he's not exactly out in Houston.
No, but still, you know, he last year, at least in the first half of the year, he was a pretty accurate three-point shooter.
No, he was.
Good foul shooter.
He wasn't a sharp shooter last year, but he was a pretty good shooter last year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just – putting, like, hope in Baron Davis, just like a lot of people are. Hopefully he can get back on Saturday night or sooner and give us some glimmer of hope that, you know, he can restore order. Obviously he's going to be rusty. They're going to have to work him back in. I'm sure he's not going to play 25 minutes right away. He'll probably play 10 to 15 minutes from the first game that he plays in. I don't know. I mean, but there's no excuse for Carmelo to have 30 shots on Saturday night and Amari only have nine.
Nine shots, especially those. I could harp on a lot of plays. And I'm not going to do that, but especially the play that Amari got the big offensive rebound. How do you not feed the ball back to him? You have to in that. Even if Jerome James gets that offensive rebound in that situation, you feed the big man. You just do.
Of course, even if Jeffrey's got the rebound, you'd feed him.
Exactly.
And I actually think, to Jared's credit, I actually think he's played pretty well so far. I don't know. I think he's played pretty well. He's been better than he usually is recently. He's played some good defense. He had three blocks on Saturday night. I don't know. I think that, you know, Tony Douglas is just completely looks like a deer in the headlights. He has no idea what he's doing out there. He's shooting, you know, 25% from three. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they respond. The Harrelson injury is a pretty big injury. I've got to feel bad for the kid.
He was playing pretty decent ball. He was hitting the outside shot, playing decent D. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. That's big.
That's a big loss. Yeah, there was actually a key point in the game on Saturday night. Tyson Chandler, first of all, I think has done everything that he came here to do. I think
that's what Tyson does. I mean, Tyson's not exactly the guy who's going to take the ball, take over a game, and score 25 points. It's not what he does.
Right, but he made a huge play down the stretch in that game where he dove, saved the ball. That was a tremendous play. It led to a Josh Harrelson open three, which he shot with a broken wrist. So now I guess I can cut him some slack for missing that shot. I don't know. It's just, look, to put it simply, right now I'm living in my own personal hell. This is rock bottom for me. And then you throw in the fact that the Giants are in the Super Bowl. It couldn't really be any worse for me right now.
Wait, you're not a Giants fan?
No, I'm a Jets fan. I'm not a big football fan, but I hate the Giants.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Right, so this is my personal hell. I got to hear Mike Francesa talk for 2 weeks about the Giants. It's just like sickening.
You can listen to music. You don't have to listen. You don't. Have
I know.
To
I'm addicted to New York sports radio. What can I tell you? Look, bottom line, we don't win the game tomorrow night. I don't care if we lose by one or by 20. D'Antoni's got to go immediately.
So you're saying tomorrow night is the end all be all for Mike D'Antoni?
Yes.
Tomorrow night,
if they lose tomorrow night,
North Carolina.
He needs to go.
Okay.
He needs to go. Isn't that plain and simple? You're 6-10.
I mean,
you have two of the top, you know,
6-11 if you lose tomorrow.
Yeah, you have two of the top, you know, 15 players in the league, arguably. You can't beat anybody. You know, he needs to go. Let Mike Woodson step in.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be able to install a system because you're not going to have much practice time. But
Clear them all out. Let Phil Weber go too. Let all those other guys go. We need a new voice in there. I guess my last question would be: if D'Antoni were to go, do you think they would keep his assistants?
Maybe. It depends on contracts and money and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm just be curious because those are like his guys. And,
yeah, but those guys also feed their families too. So it depends on, like I said, contracts, money, stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, I don't know what's the best we can hope for this upcoming 4-game trip. Obviously, you know, I would say
the
like
best
2-2.
Best you can hope is 4-0. I don't know. I mean,
no, but you know,
I don't know. I don't know what this team right now is at rock. I don't know about rock bottom, but the team is not playing good ball. You need right now is something to happen to get the team fired up. You need a game where maybe they're down 15 and they come back and win, something like that. Like if there was like I'm not about to compare this team to the '99 Knicks, but if you remember the game, it was April 25th, 1999. It was 7 games left in the regular season. The Knicks weren't playing that good. Ernie Grunfeld just got fired, and as always, Benji, thanks to the phone call. I appreciate you checking in right here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. We'll be joined by Jared Zwirling from ESPN New York in a little bit right here on the show. But what the Knicks need, I think, is a moment, a fight, a comeback win, or a dramatic win. I'll take you back to April 25th, 1999. The schedule is not in front of me. This is all off the dome. April 25th, 1999, the Knicks were down in Miami. 7 games left to go in the season. The Knicks were out of the playoffs. The Knicks that game, I believe, were down by 22 or 25 points, made a ferocious comeback to win the game, capped off by a big three-pointer by one of my favorite Knicks of all time, Larry Johnson. And that started a run that propelled them to the NBA Finals. That three-pointer LJ hit to cap off a 25-point comeback against the Miami Heat. It was a moment. Had the Knicks just won that game by 10 points and didn't have a comeback, they wouldn't have got to the Finals. Trust me. That game unified them. The Knicks right now are a mess. The Knicks need a moment. Well, that's a comeback win, a tough win at the end, or maybe even a fight. The Knicks need to go fight somebody. You know, they need a moment. It's what they need. 646-478-5554 is the number, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Greg in Hoboken. Greg, you're on the air, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Anthony, how you doing, man?
Good, Greg. How are you?
I've been better, man. This losing
been better. Well, tell me why you're bad.
Well, you know what? I've heard, you know, all we heard is about the ball movement and Amari and this, that. But you know what the biggest problem with this team is? If you look at the Lakers last year, that last game where they got blown out by the Dallas Mavericks, you saw Phil Jackson get right into Paul Gasol and hit him. And, like, that's what this team is missing. Like, this guy.
So you want D'Antoni to hit somebody?
Well, no, I want to see the guy get into. You know, he's very passive. He, you know, he just sits there on all this post game interviews and says, "Well, this, that," and he looks like the guy from Pringles. I mean, this team doesn't. They're not going to respect this guy because he's not a man. I just, I think that's the biggest problem with this team, is that there's no motivation to play for this guy. You know? I don't know.
That can go both ways. I mean, you could have. I've seen teams that stink that have passionate coaches. So,
right.
I prefer a passionate coach as a fan. As a fan, we do, because you like to see your coach on the sidelines going crazy. But you know, that's not always going to translate into victories. I know you don't want to hear that, but it's just true.
No, yeah. I mean, you're definitely right. But I think that's the biggest problem. I mean, I'm not a D'Antoni fan at all. But I think that's one of the biggest problems, is that there's no leadership. And I'm not saying we need Phil Jackson. I'd love it. But that we don't have a coach that gets into these guys. I mean, I don't know. I think that's
but
the biggest
guys,
thing.
But these guys, listen, I know what you're saying, but these guys are also grown men. They should be able to motivate themselves also.
But that's the problem, is that they're getting paid $100 million, and they, you know, I've been to two games this year. I went to opening night, and then I went to the Bobcats game that they actually won. And, like, even those games, like, there's just not that – like, Amari looks lost, and all I hear is that, he's not getting the ball.
No, you're right. Amari does look lost, and I don't know why. Is it playing without a point guard? Maybe, but he does look lost.
But, yeah, you know what, though? Even the last game, he missed a ton of just easy, easy shots. And it's like – there's something going on with him. I don't know if he knows he's on the trading block for Dwight or what, but there's some. Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure if that's it, because he's looked like this since game one on Christmas. You know, like he just. There's no energy. There's no. I don't know if.
No, he's not. Like I said, even before the game and warm ups, he just doesn't seem like the same player. He doesn't. I don't know why that is.
I don't know if it's because he's got to share the spotlight now with Carmelo, but. You know, everyone's getting on Carmelo about taking the shots. And I mean, I hear it. Like, I mean, that 30 shots is crazy. But no one else on the team is scoring. I mean, there's no – and, you know, we Amari hasn't – all his shots are strong. They hit the back of the rim. And he can't even make layups. I mean, the last game against Denver, I mean
– Well, that's the thing. Forget about Amari's lack of passion, a lack of fire, which I think is not there right now. His jump shot stinks.
I said that after the first
preseason game. I said I didn't realize his passion was gone. But yeah. I said, boy, oh, boy, his jump shot is terrible.
It was horrible. And I got the Celtics-Magic game on. And, you know, I mean, Garnett's still, his jump shot is still looking good. But, I mean, I don't know what happened with him. I don't know if it's the muscle he put on or what, but he just.
It could have been. Or I don't know, but his jump shot does look terrible. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. I mean, I see a lot of issues with this team, but I definitely think that not having a strong voice as your leader, as far as a coach, I think that, because, I mean, come on, man. Did you watch the footage when, I forget which game it was. Maybe it was the Phoenix game, and D'Antoni was trying to tell Melo the last play of the game, and you can tell Melo was just like, I don't know if you saw that footage on MSG, but, like, he just wasn't paying it. Like, he just looked like he couldn't vibe with the guy. And, like,
here's the thing. You don't need to vibe with your coach. And you know what I'm saying? You don't need to be – Greg, and thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in from Hoboken. But you don't need to – like, so many fans were like, oh, well, these guys don't like the coach. You think all the – but you don't have to like the coach. But what you want is – you, as players, you want to know your coach will go to war for you. I've had chances to talk with John Starks, Larry Johnson, Charles Oakley, a lot of those guys, you know, even guys like John Wallace. And they knew that Jeff Van Gundy would go to war for them. They didn't have to be BFF with them. They knew that he'd go to war for them. Do these players know that about D'Antoni? I don't know. There's also been so much change also. It's been absolutely crazy. It has been crazy. 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com. The Knicks Blog Radio will be joined by Jared Zwirling from ESPN New York in a few minutes right here on the show. And let's go back to the phones, and let's go to Daniel in Queens. Danny, you're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
Good, Danny. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I don't know what else I can add on from everyone – what people have been saying. I mean, we're all depressed as Knicks fans, and
yes, that is true.
And I don't know where to begin. I don't like Mike D'Antoni. I really wish he wasn't our coach right now. But you also got to give him some slack, though, because everything has been piling up.
I've cut D'Antoni slack, and you know that.
No, yeah. You and I think you and I are on the same page, because as much as we hate him, as much as how he's not really helping right now, you still have to realize a lot of things have occurred he's not going to be a perfect coach right now. For example, shortened season, no training camp. You have to go back to that, of course. And then, obviously, all these new additions added on from the additions from half the season last year. So it's like he doesn't really know what he has right now. And honestly, if you think about it, Mike D'Antoni has always been a point guard oriented coach. He's always had a good point guard on his team when he's successful. So I say we wait until.
But here's the thing. Let's say this about Mike D'Antoni, and this is true, like him or not. He knew what he was coming into when he signed up for the job in the spring of 2008. But has he ever really had a full team? The only time he did was last year, and that got broken up in February. In reality, the trade was made February 21st. But let's be honest, that team was broken up in mid-January.
Once word got
to Gallo, Ray, and Wilson that they were probably getting traded, that team after the Suns game, after the Blazers game, it was a Tuesday night in the middle of January last year. After that game, that's when I remember being at the Garden, speaking to some people close to a few of those players, and they were kind of like, we're going to be out of here. Ever since that Blazers game in mid-January last year, the Knicks were never the same.
Right.
But that was a time where Mike D'Antoni had guys he was going to war with. Now, I know the team wasn't going to win the championship, but they were playing some good ball.
Right, and he had Raymond Felton on the team who was becoming
they beat the Blazers,
learning,
they lost to the Jazz, came
really
back
well.
Home and lost to the Kings. Remember that? Why do I remember that? That's crazy.
But, yeah, he had Raymond Felton back then, and he was learning the system really well, and it was working out, like you said, before the news got out that Melo was on the trade block and they were looking to get him. And so as much as everyone's saying get rid of him now, what is that going to do at this point? We should just wait until we get Baron Davis back and see what he does when he's 100% healthy, which that's another risk, which I also wanted to talk to you about, was why haven't they looked for another point guard that can back him up?
That's what I said on my show last week, where I said, listen, that's fine, you got Baron Davis, and if he's not going to be ready until mid-February, that's fine. But if you knew Baron wasn't going to be ready until February, why not get – and if Mike Bibby wasn't going to be the answer to play the point guard position, why not get a low-tier guard who can bring the ball up the court, run some offense, and get guys the ball in the right spots until Baron got back? That's on management right there, because playing – unless you're the mid-90s Bulls or the Miami Heat, to play in the NBA without a point guard is a tough thing to do.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I know that Alan Hahn tweeted earlier that they had spoken about Ish Smith, but apparently they weren't really interested in him because he didn't have an outside shot. And that makes me wonder, Jeremy Lin doesn't really have a good outside shot, so why?
Jeremy Lin, is he even on the team? I mean, Jeremy Lin hasn't been a factor.
Right, apparently.
Why are we even talking about Jeremy Lin?
He's just there for shoot-arounds to help out with Baron Davis, apparently, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And another point that I wanted to bring up was right now, obviously, we're all hating on Carmelo's shot selection, but honestly, who does he have to pass to right now? Everyone is playing.
No,
like
that's a good point also,
no,
but at the same time,
there's no confidence on this team.
Yeah, Danny, I'm with you, man. As always, man, thanks for the call. I appreciate you calling. It's always been a good caller. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss of words. Maybe my guest right now can help me out. Covers the Knicks for ESPNNewYork.com. Please welcome to the show my good friend Jared Zwirling. Jared, what's going on, man?
Hey, Anthony. How you doing, brother?
Life is good. Life as a Knicks fan is not good, but life itself is beautiful. How are you?
My back is feeling good. No herniated disc tonight, so I can't complain.
All right, I feel you. So, Jerry, you've been on this, covering the Knicks all season, last year as well. You know, I think one thing before this season, I talked about it on the show, that don't expect the team to get off to a 12-2 start, even with Tyson Chandler. There's going to be some growing pains, but to be not just to be 6-10, but to be losing games the way they're losing. They're not losing at the end. You know, they lost at the end on Saturday versus the Nuggets, but just I really can't put my finger on what I could tell you. Lack of a point guard's a problem, but to me it seems deeper. Jared, help me out.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of talk about D'Antoni. I've been listening to some of the previous callers. You know, I think we got to cut him a little bit of slack right now. He doesn't have his point guard. You know, obviously, Emerson, Chauncey Billups, you get a great front line, and they've been playing well. You know, right now the Knicks are probably, you know, one of the top defensive teams. They're averaging, they're holding opponents at under 95, 96 points, playing pretty well defensively. Offensively, it's not there right now, and I think you just got to go back to that point guard, Baron Davis. You know, he's a short-term solution, but again, how healthy is he really going to be? You know, D'Antoni was saying at practice today that they're kind of easing him back into the rotation. They're not going to rush him back. You might see him maybe play later this week if progress is being made. But don't expect a lot of minutes, or, you know, early on front. I'm not going to really pass a lot of judgment right now on D'Antoni and Baron. I want to see how they kind of get on the court together. But back to D'Antoni, I mean, look, I've been very impressed with the defense. Like I said, offensively, they're a little out of sync. You know, one thing that I want to see the team do more of is come out with a greater sense of energy in the first half, especially in the first quarter. You're not really seeing a fight. You're seeing them kind of dog it a little bit, and their heads are down, and you know, communication is not there. I like to see a little bit more of energy and a fire, and I think that goes back to the coach. You know, coach has to get his guys ready to go. But I think on the actual court itself, defensively, they're playing well. Offensively, you know, Tony Douglas is not a point guard. Amon Shumpert's only a rookie. My Bibby is, you know, he jokes around that he's like 68 years old. So, you know, it's just tough to win in this league without that. You know, this is a point guard's league, and I think the Knicks were smart to get Chandler. They built a great front line. You know, you look at the past championship teams in this league, going back to the Akeems, the Shaqs. You know, big men are really needed to win a championship. And again, defensively, they're doing it. I mean, Tyson Chandler has been everything that has advertised so far. And I think, you know, we just got to see how Baron Davis comes back. If he's anything that he was, you know, I've been hearing some reports that he's really getting into that good shape. And if he's anything close to what he was, I think that you're going to be surprised. I think he's really coming back with an attitude, a spirited attitude. I think he's ready to go. You know, some caller mentioned before about how sometimes when they come down on offense, they don't really look to change up a lot. There's not a lot of creativity. And I think one thing with Baron, what you're going to see is he's a very crafty ball handler. And he's going to come down on offense and really change it up a lot, give the defense a lot of different looks. And I think it's going to really benefit Mari Stoudemire's game. So I'm really excited to see how it's going to happen and you know, where it goes from there. So.
Yeah, they said nobody in practice today was happier than Amari Stoudemire. That's my next question, Jared, is that to me, and you know, I was talking with you about this the other night at the game on the court, is that I haven't seen, I don't know about you, like you get a chance, you know, in the locker room a little more, around the team a little more. I have not seen the same bounce from Amari Stoudemire as I saw last year. I don't see the same swagger. I don't see the same walk. I don't see the same talk. Am I wrong? And if I'm not wrong, why is that?
No, it's definitely noticeable. I mean, we've all been talking about it in the media section, just amongst us. You know, an energy is sort of lacking. You're not seeing that same aggressiveness, that talking, that energy level. It's definitely different. I mean, again, he started the season last year without Carmelo. He was the guy. You know, he was a leader. He wanted to be in New York. Then Carmelo Anthony comes to New York. Now you're playing with another superstar. Things change a little bit. You know, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about his physicalness. He keeps saying that he's feeling great. He keeps reiterating that he's feeling great. You know, he did gain a lot of muscle in the offseason. So you know, he's banging a little bit better, but, you know, his shot is still inconsistent. Again, you know, he's taking a lot of forced shots. Not only that, he's taking a lot of shots with a hand in his face. Plus, he's taking deeper shots from about 16 to 23 feet out. And, again, it just goes back to a point guard. A point guard just gets you shots closer to the basket. When you play with Raymond Felton, Amari was taking a lot of short range jump shots.
Yeah, like a lot of 12-footers, right.
Yeah, a lot of corner free throw shots on the corner.
If you remember the game last year, even the game December 15th versus the Celtics, and the game before that, the week before, against the Nuggets last year, and even the Raptors the week before, and Ray Felton hit that big three-pointer to win the game, Amari dominated those games in the fourth quarter on 8- to 13-foot jump shots.
Yep. No, it's true. You know, Mara's been talking about how the teams are kind of coming at him differently this year, the defenses. Against I think it was the Magic or a previous game, they played when they went zone on him, and he didn't get a lot of touches in the fourth quarter. In fact, if you look at the fourth quarter scoring from Amari, last year he led the league in fourth quarter scoring at 7.1 points in that quarter. Now he's at 3.3, whereas Carmelo Anthony is at 9.5. He leads the league in fourth quarter scoring. So that's a big concern. It's all mellow in the fourth. D'Antoni has talked about how the team gets very stagnant, watches him too much around the perimeter. You know, Melo's obviously an all-star scorer. I think everybody would be out there watching Melo, right? I mean, Melo is such a good scorer. I mean, who wouldn't want to watch Melo? The fans want to watch him. The players want to watch him. He's such a good scorer, but there has to be more ball movement. You know, right now, you know, a lot of fans are, you know, talking about, you know, Melo's struggles from the field, you know, shooting a lot of shots and missing a lot of shots. But that wrist injury is definitely bothering him. He's wearing that brace on his left wrist, and he takes it on and off every game. You know, in fact, after the Nuggets loss, he talked about maybe should I shut it down for a couple games. And he told us at practice today that he is ready to go. He's not going to shut down any games. He's going to battle. He's going to be there for his guys. He doesn't want to sit down. They're on a six-game losing streak. So you got to give a lot of credit to Carmelo. You know, he's really going to push through some injuries. And I think getting Barron back will really help Melo, not just in the offense, getting flow and rhythm, but, you know, because Melo's dribbling the ball so much, it really puts a lot of pressure on his wrist because he's dribbling so much. So when you take away that, you get a Melo on the wing. He doesn't have to dribble as much. He can do his little, you know, pump fake jump shot, you know, one dribble jump shot to attack the lane. You know, I'm an optimist when it comes to Baron Davis. You know, he's a great guy. You know, I 3 months ago, this guy couldn't even barely move. He talked to me today at practice. He was mulling retirement after last season. This is a guy who could barely move. He was just trying to play basketball with his two kids, and he couldn't even, like, move. So this guy has come a long way. We've got to give him a chance. You know, obviously he's not a proven winner. You know, he hasn't taken his teams too far in the playoffs, but you got to go back to 2008. First round against the Mavericks, he has that big dunk. I'm sorry, against the Jazz, big dunk on Kirilenko in the second round. I think that year they actually upset the Mavericks as the eighth seed. So this guy has some playoff experience. We've got to give him a chance. And like I say, I go back to his crafty ball handling. And not only that, he's a great three-point shooter. In fact, last season with the Cavs, he hit 41% from behind the arc. It was a career high. And that's a big, big component for D'Antoni's pick and roll. You need a guy who can hit the three, who can step back and hit the three. And that will obviously, because Barron is so dangerous from the outside, it'll bring now less pressure to Amari and the wings to get open shots. So I think you're going to see some difference in the offense. Again, the Knicks are playing good defensively. You got to give D'Antoni and Mike Woodson a lot of credit. In fact, you go back to game one and game two against the Celtics last playoffs, They did well against the Celtics defensively. You know, Bobes went down in game one.
Decent defense.
Yeah, Amari really went down in game two. They showed fight. Like this team can play D, and they're showing it now with Chandler. So I think if they, you know, Barron said today, he said, if our offense can catch up to our defense, we're going to be unstoppable. Now, obviously, that's probably a little bit of exaggeration. Not going to be unstoppable, but they will be a better team.
Yeah, that's the thing that, you know, I know everybody's, including myself, you know, we complain when they switch on picks and this and that, but the Knicks aren't playing terrible defense, and playing with a point guard is going to help so much. You know, like you said, with Carmelo, he can catch the ball, do his little thing, and you can sit on Mari with the short shots. Another thing I want to ask you, do you think, it's only because I have to ask you, and it's being talked about a lot now, do you think, are there things going on between Amari and Carmelo on the personal side? I'm only asking, you know, you're in the locker room, it's big talk right now, or maybe it's just what the media wants. I mean, what's going on right now, Jared?
Well, Amari told us in practice today that he and Carmelo had a lengthy talk this morning about how they can work together more. Specifics, nothing really there. We'll see how that develops. Obviously, it's true they have to work on a better two-man game. I'm not going to, you know, judge them too much, but, you know, just in comparisons, you know, based on your question, I got a chance to hang out with LeBron, Wade, and Bosch over the offseason. I got to see them train down in Miami.
That must have been pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. A lot of chemistry between those guys, especially LeBron and Wade. They're big jokesters. They hang out all the time together. They're each other's houses, hanging out with their kids. Very, very close. I got a chance to spend a little time with Westbrook and Durant. Very close. A lot of chemistry there. You know, I know the best duos in the league, there's a reason why they're so good, the chemistry. They hang out together, they talk the game together. It's just not a coincidence. You know, I guess the most unique duo was probably Kobe and Shaq. I mean, a lot of reports said they didn't really hang out too much together, but they made it work on the court. Whether or not Carmelo and Amari have a relationship, I don't know. If they hang out all the time together, I don't know. I do know that they have very busy lives. You know, you go back to the off season; these guys have sponsor agreements left and right. And Amari, last year, he's in movies, you know, TV shows, fashion. The guy's a busy guy, so there's not a lot of time that they hang out together. So, you know, if they, while they're so busy, if they can bring it together on the court, I don't really care if they're eating together, hanging out together, clubbing together. I don't care. As long as they can bring it to the court and get it done, that's the most important thing.
No, of course. I don't care if they're hanging out together, either clubbing together. It's just, you know, also New York media, sometimes they want that story. They want it. Here's the thing. Carmelo and Amari could be best friends. Here's the thing, Jared, and I said this before they made the trade. I said that they are both great scorers. They are not the type of players that are going to play off of each other. They are not going to be players that are throwing alley-oops to each other. They're not going to be players where Amari hits Carmelo and, you know, Amari cuts to the basket and Melo hits him with a zipping pass. They're not players like that. So for them to play good ball together, it was going to be based on good point guard play.
Right, right. Well,
right
that,
now,
that's why Tyson Chandler
no
was brought in
guard.
In addition to defense. And you're seeing a little bit of that. Their two-man and three-man games actually working effectively. I don't know what the latest stats were, but last week they were leading the league in dunks at around over 50 a game. So I'm sorry, 50 for the season. So their two- and three-man games actually working effectively. What you're seeing is Chandler setting a screen for the ball handler, usually Melo or Shumpert, and then Chandler setting a back screen for Amari, so he can hit the lane for the lob pass or the dump pass from Shumpert. And you're seeing a mix-up of that. I think Chandler adds a lot of that to the game. It's not 100% there yet, but I think you're starting to see the makings of that. I talked to Amari about that, actually. I asked him, you know, with Tyson on the court, are you finding that the spacing is there? He said it's getting there. Once he gets more rhythm with Chandler, it's going to open up a lot more. So I think he's excited about playing with Tyson, looking ahead to how that's going to open up the lane for him. But, you know, they just have to communicate better. Obviously, you go back, it's a shortened training camp. They've only played 15, 16 games, 8 new guys on the court. It just takes somewhat of an adjustment. And, again, that point guard really gets the foundation of the team going. And right now they don't have that, so it's going to be a longer adjustment. I looked at the stats. What's interesting is that Josh Harrelson is actually, as far as playing on the court with Amari has the highest plus-minus, and he's scoring more points and grabbing more rebounds and shooting a higher percentage with Harrelson on the court. And that's because Harrelson is a spot-up shooter. He drags the defense to the outside, and Amari's getting more touches. But the strength of Tyson is his screen game and also to the basket. And if he can work that two-man screen game with Amari, I think they could be very effective. But, again, it just takes some timing and some flow and some rhythm, and hopefully Barron can add to that.
We're talking to Jared Zwirling right here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Jared covers the Knicks for ESPNNewYork.com. Jared, what are your thoughts on that report from Stephen A. Smith today about Dwight Howard for Tyson Chandler and Amari Stoudemire? The trade talk never ends.
I think it's preposterous right now. I don't see it happening. Amari is not a center. He's a completely different. You know, Tyson's a center, but he's not on the same level as Dwight whatsoever. It wouldn't fit for the Magic. You go back to Amari's contract, it's not insurable. He's got 4 more years on his deal. He's obviously going to be turning 29 next year, so he's getting older. I think the suitable fit, it still seems like, is going to the Lakers for Andrew Bynum. Bynum is young. He's had a healthy year so far. I mean, I could see that happening, but I think with the Knicks, it's just, that's just a lot of talk to me right now. It just doesn't make sense from a financial standpoint, from a roster standpoint. So I think that we could, until there's any kind of credible report, and I've kind of looked around and talked to people, there's nothing credible right now on that. So I think we can hold off on that talk until something maybe more formal comes about. So.
Now, I don't want to make a big deal of this, but why isn't Steve Novak getting any burn? I mean, the guy can shoot. It seems like he's a lively body. I'm not saying he's a great defender. Bottom line is the Knicks aren't making outside shots, and Stevie Novak can shoot the rock. Why isn't – and he seems like a D'Antoni type of player.
Yeah.
Why isn't he getting a look to shoot?
I was thinking the same thing. I think a caller was talking about him earlier, or you guys were talking about him. First of all, let me just say this about Steve Novak. He is a unbelievable guy to talk to, man. He says hello
he's
to everybody.
He's a nice guy.
He says hello to everybody. He'll talk to you even if he's busy. He's a great pregame. If you want to just get some little insights about the game, just go up to Steve Novak and just talk to him. He's very easy to talk to and approachable. So if you ever get a chance to see him, just say hello because he'll definitely say hello back. But, yeah, back to Novak as a player. You know, now that Josh Harrelson is out, I wouldn't be surprised if Novak got in there a little bit. Harrelson, although he's a center, was sort of playing like a stretch four. I mean, the guy was hitting the three. So now that Harrelson's three-pointers is not there, Steve Novak can maybe jump in and hit some shots. So D'Antoni didn't address that today, but you know I think it might be a possibility. So by the way, back to Harrelson, this is a really interesting tidbit. When he fractured his right wrist against the Nuggets, it happened in the fourth quarter, and it turns out that after he fractured his wrist, he actually continued to play for an additional 4 minutes with a fractured right wrist and actually took a three-pointer. So I thought that was, you know, if anybody is not a Josh Harrelson fan yet, that story alone, just showing his toughness and how he played through a fractured right wrist for 5 minutes or 4 minutes was, wow. So.
No, that's some interesting stuff, and he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. That's a pretty big blow to the Knicks.
Yeah, he was playing well. I mean, second round rookie, didn't expect much from him, really, anybody. I heard an interesting comparison to a poor man's Tyler Hansbrough. I can see that. I think he has a better outside three-point shot, to be frank, although Hansbrough is very, very good around the basket, probably better than Harrelson. But, yeah, Harrelson was really developing well. He was grabbing some boards, showed toughness on defense, hit the outside shot. You know, good locker room guy, an energy guy. And, you know, to play in a D'Antoni system, you have to be able to hit shots and bring energy, and he was doing both. So it's a loss, you know, I think that, you know, if Novak can get in some minutes, and, you know, I think if Jeffries can continue to do what he's been doing well, he's been getting some block shots and playing some good versatile defense, I think that will make up for the loss. I mean, Bill Walker had a great game against the Nuggets, 15 points, a season high. He connected on three threes. So they need Bill Walker off the bench. If they can get Bill going and Tony going and, maybe in 2 weeks or so, Shumpert will come off the bench. You know, we're talking about a lot of issues here with the Knicks, and that's another thing is the bench. Right now the Knicks bench is a little bit weak, but I think Shumpert off the bench and Tony and Bill, and I think that'll definitely come around. So I'm excited about the chances, but, yeah, Harrelson is a tough loss right now.
When do you think we'll see Baron Davis on the court?
Well, you know, D'Antoni is trying to ease him back. He said they're going to go day by day, really, just to see, just to monitor with the training staff his progress. You know, Davis is really rusty. He admitted it. Everything is off, his stamina, his agility, his conditioning. But, you know, one thing that he did really find that he was adjusting very well with was just the flow of the offense. You know, Baron is, as I mentioned, a very crafty ball handler. The free-flowing and up-tempo style of D'Antoni will actually fit his style because he'll be able to kind of play that kind of loose game, and I think that will help Davis. In fact, he said he was picking that up pretty quickly. But it just goes back to his health. D'Antoni mentioned maybe you can see him later this week, maybe playing 5 to 10 minutes. I mean, obviously, the Miami Heat game Friday would be an awesome return.
Yeah, the Knicks love drama. If there was ever a game.
That would be an unbelievable. I remember last year, Chauncey hit that big shot. You remember anything, that big shot down in Miami?
Oh, of course.
Can you imagine if Baron comes back that day and hits the same type of shot?
Like, oh, man.
I mean, that would be just awesome. So I think fans would probably like to see that. You know, one thing we haven't talked about, the one thing that really, you know, just kind of bugs me a little bit about with the Baron thing is that, you know, when you look at the playoffs, going against Derrick Rose, Rajon Rondo, then the West, Russell Westbrook, this is a very young playmaker, facilitator type league. In fact, there's like four point guards from UCLA, Darren Collison, Drew Holiday, Baron Davis, and Westbrook, which is really interesting. But I just fear a little bit about the defensive side, Baron having to guard some of these really fast and quick point guards because, you know, in a series against Derrick Rose, Rajon Rondo, man, these guys can run field days around the Knicks. So I just hope you know, Shumpert will be coming off the bench playing well defensively. Right now he's doing well on the steals category. I think he's second in the league in steals. So hopefully he can be a good backup, you know, counterpart to Davis. But that defensive side, is a big thing that I know a lot of fans will be thinking about heading into the playoffs. So we'll see what happens there.
Speaking of Shumpert, was he affected a lot by that game he had on national TV versus the Grizzlies when he jacked up 15 shots in the first half, and obviously the TNT crew had a field day with him? Do you think he was affected by that?
No, Shumpert doesn't get affected by anything. This guy is the most level-headed, focused guy. He doesn't get rattled. You know, he has like a Ray Allen approach. You know, you take five shots, you miss them all, just keep shooting. But, you know, he had a little bit more hesitation this past weekend, and I think that's just because he's just adjusting to the rookie role of being a starting point guard in New York, which is a tough assignment in general. So I he's adjusting. You know, I know he's not bothered by that stuff. What's bothering him is the cramps. I think we have to really focus on that right now.
Yeah, why did he get cramped up so much?
Yeah, it was a problem. My colleague Ian Begley did a story about this he with his high school coach. He was actually suffering cramps back from his high school days and also at Georgia Tech playing under Paul Hewitt. So it's been an ongoing thing that the Knicks are monitoring. You know, well, he had an IV treatment after the game. Before games, he eats a lot of watermelon to kind of get his juices going. He's drinking Powerade, Gatorade. So, it's something to monitor. I one thing that Shumpert did talk to me about is that it's a different type of schedule. You know, when you go back to college, you play one game every 4 or 5 days. NBA now with the shortened season, you're playing 4 games in 5 nights, 6 nights. So he says that the schedule now is sort of affecting him. The shortened season really has affected a lot of guys. You know, it's taken off the rhythms of the guys as far as their preparation coming into the season. They didn't have that regular September, kind of work their body back into game shape October, have the training camp preseason. So that's, you're just seeing a lot of injuries across the board. I mean, you know, and I think, you know, the team that's going to really come out on top will be a team that's very good, obviously, but a team that will be very healthy, because in the shortened season, you're seeing a lot of injuries, and Shumpert did admit that the schedule is affecting him. So I think with more repetitions and the right treatment, I think that he'll be on the right direction.
Yeah, no. Hopefully he will be. Do you see the Knicks making? You know, obviously the trade deadline is coming up. The Knicks aren't going to have the best record in the NBA. That said, there'll always be some stories. Do you see the Knicks making any moves to maybe shore up their bench or something come trade deadline?
Well, like I said before, when Barrett comes back, they'll have a nice bench with Shumpert, Bill Walker, Tony Harrelson will be back after the All-Star break, so he'll add some value. But I don't see them making a move just yet. I think they're going to wait and see how Barron comes back. I mean, one guy everyone's kind of talking about is J.R. Smith, as a target. He's out playing in China. But he can't come back till the end of February or the middle of February, and the trade deadline is March 15th. So, you know, maybe something there. If they need more, maybe need more of a firepower off the bench, maybe you look at a guy like J.R. because he's obviously been a proven sixth-man, seventh-man playing in Denver. But as of right now, no, I think they're just going to wait and see how things flow. Once anything does come up, I'll definitely be sure to let you know if I hear of anything popping up.
All right, Jared, well, as always, man, great job having you on.
Yeah.
And I will I'll probably see you next Tuesday at the Garden versus the Pistons.
Oh, for sure, man, for sure. So, Anthony, thanks so much again, man. Let's stay in touch soon. So.
You got it, Jared. Talk to you soon. Great job.
Thanks, man. You got it.
That was Jared Zwirling from ESPN New York right here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Jared always does a great job giving us some great Knicks insight. Make sure to check out his work and his blog, like I said, on ESPNNewYork.com under the Knicks section. 646-478-5554 is the number, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. We've got time for a few more calls before we wrap this show up, and let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Anthony from Queens. Anthony, you're on the air, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. That game sucked to lose last game against the Nuggets.
I mean, every game, you know, stinks to lose,
yeah,
to be honest.
But
some worse than others, but they all stink.
I saw a lot from what I saw from the TV. I mean, I saw a lot. I saw our stars didn't show up. I saw Tony Douglas contributed something, finally. He did something. Landry Fields played an excellent game again. Just like three back-to-back games where he's been playing good. And the reason why he's playing good is because they were playing a little more up-tempo. Trump is pushing the ball. He's hitting them on the break. He's scoring, you know, fast-paced basketball. That's what I think we need to do. Because I'm looking at the rest of the NBA, and all the top teams, they all up-tempo, running fast breaks. Like Miami Heat, they're not that good in half-court offense either. Like they get the ball and they just run. We need to run, push the tempo more. It seems like everybody in the team plays better up-tempo except Carmelo. Like he's the only one.
Well,
that slows
I think
the ball
we
around.
Knew this when the Knicks made the trade, though. Carmelo's not a guy who's going to get
oh,
up and down the court, throw the
way,
lanes, and make it. Carmelo's never been Carmelo's game, though. Knicks fans knew that.
No, but he can adjust to that. He can play up-tempo. He could run to the corner on the fast break, take the jumper, or you know, run on the fast three-man weave. Like it's simple basketball. You can mix it in with his half-court offense, but it's too much slow. They need to push the tempo to get easy layups, easy dunks, so we don't have to form. You know, especially when you're playing without a point guard, it would make sense to try to push the tempo a little more to get easy baskets, especially when they.
But didn't Knicks fans and Knicks players know that about Carmelo, that he wasn't an up and down player?
Well, he needs to become one. Amari has to change his game. Carmelo has to change his game too. That's how it should be. And especially when the rest of the team will benefit from him changing. He has to adjust his game. That's it. Just like LeBron and Wade, they have to adjust their game. When you come together.
So
that's
do you think Carmelo needs? So you're saying Carmelo needs to adjust his game?
I think the reason being is because we don't have a point guard, so our half court offense is terrible, and also the rest of the team plays well that way. So I feel like. I mean, why would the rest of the team have to adjust to Melo the way he plays? I think Melo needs to adjust to how to coach and how everybody else would like to
but
play.
But he hasn't.
Landry Fields plays better up-tempo. Shumpert plays better up-tempo. Amari plays better up-tempo. Everybody plays better up-tempo. So why are they slowing the ball down? That's why our offense looks terrible.
Well, the Knicks, their management and their coaches should have – and this isn't a knock on Melo because I really am becoming a big fan of Carmelo Anthony – but Knicks fans, coaches, staff should have thought of that before they made the trade then. Because that's the type of player Carmelo Anthony is. And that's fine. He's a half-court player, catches the ball, dribbles two or three times, and scores. The game's actually pretty basic. It's pretty awesome. But that's the type of player Carmelo Anthony is. So I don't know why people are acting surprised how, oh, Carmelo's not an up-tempo player. Carmelo, no, he never has been.
I know that. I'm just saying that. How hard is it to run up the court? He's in good shape. So push the ball. He's trying to do too much because if we play up tempo, he won't have to do as much. He can score 20 points a game, and we'll still be scoring.
He's not used to it. Let me tell you something. Carmelo is probably doing the same thing his whole basketball life, running up and down the court, catching the ball 18 feet out, putting the ball above his head, sizing up the defender, dribbling twice, and scoring. He's done that since he was 5 years old, you know, in the schoolyard. He has not changed at all. And you know what? It's worked out pretty damn good for him. But to be fair, it's like you knew what you were getting. That's the thing that bothers me, that everybody knew what they were getting.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, no.
You say you know what you're getting, but, I mean, if he's the great scorer that they say he is, he can adjust and score in a different way. I mean, he's a great shooter. He has a great jump shot. So for him to just run up the court, pick a spot, and for the most part of the game, obviously in the fourth quarter and things like that, he can do his game. He can do his one-man game. But throughout the game, to keep the rest of the team involved, to take off wear and tear off his legs so he doesn't have to do everything, it would benefit him to play an up-tempo game, team basketball, pass the ball around, make quick moves. I mean, that's like how we were playing. I was watching – I mean, I know we had a totally different team last year, but I was rewatching the game, Knicks versus Celtics, when we played them December 15th or 18th or whatever that was. And
what,
I was
last
watching
year?
That game. Last year, yeah. And I'm like, felt like we all half-court offense wasn't great at all. Every time Felton got the ball, he pushed the ball all the way up the court and hit Chandler or somebody was there, and it was easy baskets we were getting. Once we got into half court, we struggled last year. Like, we played better up-tempo basketball. And we have Shumpert's not a good point guard, but he's fast, he's athletic. If you put him on the break and him and Landry Fields, they can make things happen. I just feel like the whole team would play better if they play faster. That's what they need to do.
Yeah, well, listen, this is kind of Anthony's always, man.
Slow it down in the fourth quarter.
No, Anthony, I'm with you, man. Thanks for the call. But this is not a knock on Carmelo, but this is what the type of player Carmelo Anthony is. It's just what he is. 646-478-5554. Back to the calls. Let's go to Peter in Connecticut. Peter, you're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. What up, Peter?
How you doing, Anthony?
I'm good, Peter. Yourself?
Well, not too good these days. It's been a tough 2 weeks, and it's been a tough last few years, to be honest with you.
Yeah, as a Knicks fan, it's been a tough 12 years.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it was even tough in the 90s. It just so happens in the Knicks. The 90s, the Knicks were just relevant. They never won the championship. They broke your heart at the end, where these teams the last 12 years just kind of give you a slow death throughout the season.
Yeah, slow death. I mean, at least back in the 90s, we had some hope. You know, we at least won a playoff game here or there. But, I mean, you know, I was never in favor of the coaching change. You know, the first year with D'Antoni, you know, I kind of didn't, you know, I just wanted to see how he would do. And, you know, I wasn't really, I didn't pass judgment. But, you know, I've been an anti-D'Antoni guy since after the first year. And I think there's no reason he still should be our coach. I mean, you watch him on the sidelines. He's got his head resting on his hand all the time.
I think he cares. I mean, you know, he doesn't care. I don't know. I'm not defending him like people think, but I don't know. Like, what do you want him to do on the sidelines?
I want him to be off the bench in overtime when we're in a tie game with 30 seconds left. You watched the game the other night. He's sitting down on his chair. I mean, what coach in the NBA is sitting down?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you remember D'Antoni, obviously he knows he's not coming back. If you remember his first year at the Knicks, he was passionate, but he's definitely lost a lot of that. I'm sure he's made a lot of money here, but I'm sure working here has been kind of crazy for him. Not making excuses for him either. I'm just saying I'm sure it's taking its toll.
I mean, a lot of people want to make a lot. There are a lot of excuses being made, and you know, I don't want to kill the guy because I hear him in the post game. I've never met the guy, obviously, but I can kind of understand what type of guy he is. He's a nice guy. You know, he's the kind of guy who, you know, you go to a party and you know he's gonna be friendly to everybody, and he's a nice guy. But for, as an NBA coach, I mean, I really think Steve Nash made him a ton of money. I think he's a very overrated coach. I mean, he should be. The other night when they played Phoenix, I went to that game, by the way, which was a complete waste of money. I mean, I got to yell a little bit at D'Antoni. I even got a chance to yell at Dolan. But that was.
Oh, did you? How'd that work out for you?
Dolan was walking out of the game after the game. I stuck around after the game, and
okay.
Dolan was walking out, and I yelled. I said, when are you going to get a coach who actually shows some passion, shows some life? I mean, I'm sorry. I like D'Antoni as a man, but I do not like him as the coach of the New York Knicks. He is not tough enough. He is not stern. He has no accountability with the players. I mean, a previous caller said Phil Jackson hit Pau Gasol last year. That caller hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's what we need. We need some passion. This is New York City. D'Antoni's from the South. He's laid back. You know, come on. This isn't Marshall. This isn't Mullins, West Virginia. And not only D'Antoni. What's going on with the assistant coaching staff? He's got his brother on the sidelines. What coach has their brother on the sidelines coaching along? You know where Dan D'Antoni coached before he got an NBA
assistant high school,
coaching
West
job?
Virginia.
Yeah, a high school in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, for 30 years,
oh,
and
South
then his
Carolina.
his brother. Gets the Phoenix Suns job, and he just goes along for the ride. I mean, this guy doesn't have any NBA experience. Herb Williams was a good player for us. What kind of coaching contribution does he make? After every timeout that the Knicks call, the coaches meet in the center of the court, sort of, and they kind of just, like, talk things over, and the players just go sit down, and they get, like, water breaks.
Now, I love Herb as a person, great guy. How crazy is it, if you think about it, how crazy has it been that Herb has been through every regime? He was with Chaney, he was
yep.
with Lenny, he was with Larry, he was with Isaiah, he was with D'Antoni. It's like Herb's part of the package, you know? It looks like, I hope, great for Herb, but it's almost kind of weird.
It is very weird. It's very weird. He's been there for too long, I think. Yeah. I mean, you know, I honestly, I don't mind if they lose tomorrow night. I don't mind if they lose tomorrow night because this team, they play with too much inconsistency. I mean, and that's one of the problems with D'Antoni. You see one night they play, they got energy, they're moving the ball. The next night they're flat. And that's on coaching. And I hear a lot, I heard you say it before, that, you know, these guys are NBA players and, you know, they're the ones who are responsible. But, you know, the leader of this team is the coach. The leader of this team is the coach. I mean, think about it. If you're in class, you're in school, you know, I'm in college right now. If you got a teacher who is like, okay, you know, guys, do whatever you want, no homework, whatever, and very lenient, are you going to perform at the highest level that you can as a student? No, you're going to probably not do as well in your homework or take a couple things off. But if you got a tough teacher who, you know, wants the homework in on time, makes you guys do assignments, that's going to bring the best out of you as a student. And that's the same thing that's going on with this team. The coach is not bringing the best out of players. He's making no adjustments. Melo, he's not making any adjustments with Melo and Amari. I mean, yeah, they're isolation players, but figure out a way to make it work. You are an NBA coach. Make this thing work. We should
well, the
not
players,
be
listen, you're sort of right, man, but the players have to figure out how to make it work too, man. You know what I'm saying, Pete? And Pete, thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in. And he's right in a way, but players need to figure out this themselves also. The coach is a big part to blame, so are the players. 646-478-5554 is the number, theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Frank in Queens. Frank, you're on the air, theknicksblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, man. Just a couple quick points.
What's
tonight.
Up, Frank?
I mean, just to kind of piggyback on what that last caller was saying, like, I mean, I know you said you kind of agree with him, but, like, I can't disagree with him anymore. I mean.
Okay, well, tell me why.
I mean, how many win one for the Gipper speeches can a coach give? I mean, you've got $200 million players. You've got an NBA champion in Tyson Chandler. You've got a point guard in Baron Davis who's been around the team. I mean, he's not a ghost. I mean, he's been around the team. I've been to games. I've seen him talk to Landry Fields and to Amon Shumpert, like, on the bench during games. I mean, like, the Dan D'Antoni thing, I mean, that's whatever. I mean, but Mike D'Antoni is a good coach. I mean, he won, you know, what, 60 games, 58 games, 62 – how many – like, he's had some good teams. I mean, the coach – it's not the coach's responsibility to say, all right, you know, like, win one for the Gipper speech every night. I mean, these guys got to come to play. I mean, maybe – I don't know, maybe I'm looking too into it, but, I mean –
No,
that's
what I just said. Like, you know, listen, you want the coach gone, fine. But, like, you know, at some point it's about the players also. You know,
absolutely.
You can't fire 15 players, though. That's the thing.
No, absolutely. And I mean, just to kind of go off with Amari a little bit, I mean, I kind of try and put myself in his shoes a little bit. Because, I mean, last year you got to think. I mean, he's coming into New York City. New York City hasn't seen – a player of his caliber in what, 10 years, you'd say? I mean,
long
maybe more.
Time.
And he's getting chance at the Garden. I remember being at the Garden last year. I'm sure you do, too. Hearing the MVP chance.
Oh, yeah.
Every night.
It gave me chills.
I remember seeing Patrick Ewing play the last time I heard MVP chance at the Garden before Amari Stoudemire. And it was amazing. I mean, the guy must have felt like he was on top of the world. I mean, now what does he hear every night in the fourth quarter when they're down by 10 to a sub-500 team? He's hearing boos. So obviously you're not going to see the same pep in his step. I mean, that's just how I take it. I mean, he's got to be a man, and he, you know, he's got to get it together, you know, with Melo and everybody else. But, I mean, that's just something that I've seen. And, I mean, you can't have – Melo and Amari going, you know, 15 for 50 between the two of them. I mean, that's just going
And Amari taking 9 shots, only like no shots the last 15 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
It was brutal. It was brutal on Saturday night. Frank, man, thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in right here on the show. I'll tell you something that broke my heart. And it was on Wednesday night during the game. And last year, I always, whenever Amari would be on the, you know, lining up for a foul shot, when, you know, offensively or defensively, when somebody else is at the foul line, he'd always look into the crowd. And I usually watch the game, old section 23, now section 1. And I'd always say to myself, man, Amari's looking into the crowd saying, wow, this is my city, this is my town. And he was kind of looking into the crowd during Wednesday's game towards the end of the fourth quarter versus the Suns. He was kind of looking into the crowd. And a fan must have been 6 rows from the court, just looked at Amari. And Amari heard it, don't get it twisted. Looked at Amari and just goes, yay, Stat, where's your heart? And like, I kind of felt for Amari there because he heard it. He heard it loud and clear. And to go from MVP chance to where's your heart is just incredible. We're going to do one more call on the show before we wrap this up. 646-478-5554 is the number of the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Before we take the last call, Knicks fans, I know you want to get to the Garden. Charge.fm has your best tickets. You want to get 5 tickets, you want to get 6 tickets, you want to sell your tickets, Charge.fm will get you in the door. Remember that. 646-478-5554. Back to the calls we go. Let's go to T from the Bronx. T, you're on the air, the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Tony Tone, what's good, baby?
What up, T? How's it going?
Everything's going good, man. You know, everybody's panicking. I just don't like the current state of New York Knicks fans right now. Everybody's panicking. We've been through so much for so long. I mean, we went through the whole Stephon Marbury saga. You know, we had Eddie Curry, we had Tim Thomas, all these players that we done had. Now we have 2 superstars. We have 2 superstars on our team now, and it just seems like everybody's just bashing them. And I understand. You know what? This is a short NBA season. You know, guys didn't have, you know, we didn't have, teams didn't have a full training camp. It's going to take time. It's only been 16 games. You know, everybody's want to, you know, they want to, you know, they want to judge the whole trade between the Denver Nuggets and the New York Knicks saying, oh, Denver got the better part of their, come on, it hasn't even been a full season yet. You know, you got to give guys a chance to mesh. You understand what I'm saying? You have to give guys a chance to mesh. It's not going to happen all in one night. It's not going to happen in 30 games. It's going to take a full season. So you know what? We just got to judge the New York Knicks at the end of the season. You can't judge it by now. I mean, yes, we all want D'Antoni gone. I mean, I've been wanting him gone since the day he got here. You know, but at the end of the day, I just feel as if, you know, everybody's in panic mode right now. They want to get rid of everybody. They're saying Melo's this and Melo's that. Look at Melo. He's the player of the month. When's the last time the Knicks had a player of the month? When's the last time the Knicks had a player of the month, Ank? Like, come on. Everybody's just, I mean, I understand
you're not willing to give up.
Nah, I'm not giving up, man. It's 16 games in a shortened NBA season, man. Everybody's in panic mode, man. Like, come on, I had callers talking about, oh, we should have kept Gallo. Like, are you serious? Like, these guys don't know. Like, I hear all the time, like, even on these sports blogs and all these, they want to keep Gallo? You wish you would have kept Gallo over Carmelo? Like, come on. Like, what drugs are these guys on? Melo's a proven scorer. He's a proven player. He leads the league in fourth quarter field goal percentage every year. Within the past couple years. Like, come on. Like, guys, these guys just need to relax and, you know, and give this team a shot. Give this team a chance. Yes, I kind of think I do want Dwight Howard here, but I really don't want to give up on Amari and Chandler. Just give them a shot, man. I mean, these guys deserve it.
I'm all about, listen, I'm frustrated right now. Don't get it twisted, T. But I do want to give this team a shot. I do want to give this team a shot with Baron Davis because – if Baron Davis can play at a pretty, I'm not saying he's going to do what he did in 2007, but if Baron Davis can play at a good level of basketball, he will make Amari and Carmelo much better players and make guys like Landry Fields better. He'll make guys like Bill Walker better. Just, he will. But that's if he can play at that level. But that's a big if that we don't know the answer to yet.
I mean, but final, even on Friday on Saturday, I mean, I really want Baron Davis to come back, you know, for the Miami game. I mean, that would be a great present. That would be a great present if he come back from Miami. I mean, you know, You put him in a starting lineup with Shumpert or maybe Fields, and then, you know, let's rock. Let's, you know, let's roll. But, I mean, you know, just guys, I mean, I just, you know, talk to all the fellow Knicks fans. Yo, guys, you just got to relax, man. It's only been 16 games. You know, I mean, honestly, I really want them to lose the next four games so they can get D'Antoni out of here. But
then,
you know,
but then here's the thing, T. So you lose the next four games, now you're 6-14, and now you are in a deep, deep hole.
And that's the way to get D'Antoni. I mean, hey, you know, if D'Antoni could get out of here, then that's fine. You know, but at the same time, you know, we just have to be patient as you know, as fans and as New Yorkers, because that's the one thing that we have as New Yorkers. Everything is just, you know, we gotta have this. We have to, you know, even when, you know, just to make a you know, to switch sports, right? You know, switch sports right quick. Like even like with Mark Sanchez with the Jets, this guy, you know, he brought the Jets to the AFC Championship 2 years in a row. He had one bad year. Oh, let's get rid of him. He sucks. He's this. He had one bad year. That everybody wants to get rid of him. Like, come on, guys, come on, wake up, man. We just need to take our time, be patient, let this team gel. Once we get Baron Davis back, it will be all right, and we'll be ready to rock. And hopefully, you know, we'll have a parade in June, but maybe not this June, next year June. Tony, love is love, baby.
T, I'm with you, man. Thanks for the call, man. I always appreciate it. Oh, man, you called. Everybody was great tonight. I think this team with Baron Davis has a chance to be good, maybe even really good. It's just going to take some time, and the problem is there's not much time. You almost got to hope for the 1999 thing. Hope they just get in the playoffs. And from there, hopefully they get hot. But the problem is if they get in the playoffs, they're going to be facing a top team, the Bulls, Orlando, Miami in the first round. And that's not exactly what you want. As always, it's been a great show right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I want to thank my producer, Johnny McDonald, Brad Wolf, for doing the post on TheKnicksBlog.com. Thank all the callers. Thank Jared Swirley from ESPNNewYork.com. The Knicks play tomorrow night in Charlotte, Wednesday night in Cleveland. I'll be back on the show Thursday night at 9 p.m. to recap those two games. Then I'll be back on the air Saturday morning at 10 a.m. to recap the Miami game Friday night. Make sure to hit me on Facebook, facebook.com/TonyWrightStone. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, as always, AnthonyMSG. As always, it's been a wonderful show. Even when we're talking bad, we're talking Knicks, we're having fun. It's all love, nothing personal. I love all of you. Back on Thursday night. Take care, everybody.